Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's Wednesday, and Wednesdays we bring in Gidi Hansen from The Growing Place. She is with us today, and we have been talking for the last few weeks about the types of things that successful couples do to have a good relationships, and we've gone through eight of them, and we're down to number nine, and then we're going to get 9 and 10 done today and wrap this up. First of all, good morning to Gidi. Hi, Gidi. How are you?
Fine. Good morning to you, too.
It's been a very interesting. This has actually been very helpful, too. I think about some of these. We'll run down real quickly. We can just alternate.
Okay. And let me just tell you where I got this list.
Please do.
This is from Light University, which is associated with Liberty University and the American Association of Christian Counselors.
Okay. Number one, consider 10 things happy people do. Number one, go to bed at the same time.
Right. And I've kind of edited that to happy couples do, because this is really about couples.
Things that happy couples do.
So, okay. Yes, go to bed at the same time. Number two, cultivate some common interests.
Number three, walk hand in hand or at least side by side.
Four, make trust and forgiveness your natural default.
Number five, focus on what your partner does right, not what on he or she does wrong.
Number six, hug and kiss your partner as soon as you see each other after work.
Number seven, say I love you and have a good day every morning.
And number eight, say I love you and good night every night, regardless of how you feel.
And that brings us up to number nine, do a weather check during the day.
Yes.
And, okay, explain what a weather check is.
A weather check is when you shoot a quick text or a quick phone call or email to the person you love and you say, hey, how's it going today? I hope you're having a great day. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking of you. I said a little prayer for you. Or remember that interview I told you about? It went really well. Thanks for your prayers. Just kind of stay connected during the day in some way.
Is it possible to do too much of that?
Sure.
I mean, because sometimes I check in with Kelly and she gets tired of it. Okay, that's enough. Leave me alone. Yeah, sometimes I do too much.
Where communication comes in.
Yeah.
Where the couple can fine-tune it, what feels good for both people.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's nice to know that I'm still connected, even though I'm not with that person, even though I'm in the workaday world, or I'm driving, or whatever I'm doing.
Well, you don't want to text and drive.
No, but if you have Bluetooth, you can talk on the phone and drive.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can get to your destination and put a little email or whatever, to your partner. Mm-hmm. And I think it really, really helps. Sometimes I just send a little, emoticon?
Yeah.
Just to say, I'm thinking of you and I love you.
Yeah, like one of those happy smiles or something.
Happy smile, a heart or something.
Right.
And then to just have one come right back to you is so cool.
Yeah.
It's really nice to know you have that connection.
So many times, I bet it's, you get involved in the workplace and you're just consumed with your work that you don't even think about anything else. I can tell you that... That does not happen with me. I would say it did when, it used to, but I think maybe as we get older, we kind of appreciate maybe those little things more than we used to.
Yeah. Well, as a counselor, I get completely absorbed in the session that I'm with my client.
Right.
And just time just flies by. And, so if I'm going to communicate with my husband, it'll be between sessions or during a break in the day. To talk with him. And he's also very busy. But we found we're never too busy to check in with each other.
Speaking to Gidi Hansen, she's a licensed family and marriage therapist over at The Growing Place. Do you think that we let our work consume us more than it should?
Probably. We're known for that internationally as Americans.
Right. Our identities are wrapped around our jobs. And, not just men, women too, I think.
Oh, absolutely. We're known for that. And I think part of that is because of the Europeans who settled in America. They had that pioneering spirit. And that pioneering spirit never rests.
Right, right.
It never rests. And that's not good.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's also, it seems like, we we care more about when if we're like at a party or a social event to talk about our careers and what we do, and you know how we handle our 40-hour work weeks and with the exciting careers we may have or what we do, and we don't seem as and we'll probably get into this in the last segment. We're less proud to talk about, you know, our loved ones, you know, our family life. You know, we don't hear much about when I go out with people and I run into somebody. And even to this day, I'll hear someone say, well, you know, I'm just a housewife. I'm like, just a housewife? That's a big deal. But, you know, it's like nobody wants to talk about, well, what do you do during your day? Well, I took the kids here. I did this. I did that. It almost seems like we focus so much on our work that we don't take time to appreciate those other aspects.
You know, in my opinion, the highest, most important job that any human being can have, male or female, is bringing up children.
Oh, no question.
And investing in children and creating a home. Mm-hmm. Whether the wife is doing it or the husband is doing it, that is a true investment in the future of those children and also, I believe, in eternity. Mm-hmm. And you're right, it has been completely devalued.
Yeah, and I'm not just saying that lightly, because it's a cliche sometimes to say, well, we don't appreciate motherhood or fatherhood or parenthood. We're going to do into a break right now, but we really don't.
I know, and it shows.
Yeah, so number 9, do a weather check during the day. Check in with your partner. We're going to take a break and continue our discussion with number 10, things that happy couples do to have successful relationships. We'll be right back.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
All right, welcome back to the show. I'm with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. We are talking about the 10 things that happy couples do to have a good relationship. And in the last segment, we were discussing do a weather check during the day. Just kind of, you know, check in with your partner and, you know, and if maybe during your lunch break or just send a text or something like that. And so that's a good thing to do. And I guess that just sort of makes you, you know, put in the forefront of your mind what's most important. You know, I think what happens so many times is we kind of like our focus is on our work. We don't think about what's most important and our families are. And we put the emphasis on our work. And I think that's another. And plus, it's just a nice thing to do. Right.
It is. And I know in my case, my husband often gives me perspective. If I'm having a rotten day, just knowing that he exists and that he's talking to me and encouraging me gives me perspective on whatever issue it is that has got me upset or has consumed my attention.
You're right. I mean, there might be something going on in your day, and you're like, well, maybe I could maybe get maybe not an objective opinion because he's your wife or he's your husband, but at least to maybe check in. That's a good idea.
You get support. It reminds me of when I was in college and I was part of the dance group on our college campus, and we were putting together our spring show, and I had choreographed something, and the teacher, the head of the department, who was also the one leading this group and this class, didn't like my choreography, and she just ripped into me, and just one move after another, one thing after another, and was really very demeaning. And out in the hallway around the corner, I heard my boyfriend whistling. Mm-hmm. And he was whistling so that I would know he was there. Mm-hmm. He could hear the woman, and he was kind of whistling to say, I'm here to remind you who you really are. Mm-hmm. You're not what this woman is saying. You know your choreography is good. And of course, you know, I didn't marry my boyfriend. I married my husband. But my husband, he does the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's like a beautiful reminder. I know who you are, and this isn't your style. Remember that line, Jack Nicholson from As Good As It Gets?
Oh, yeah.
He says, that's not your style. You know, we quote movie lines to each other all the time. So when one of us gets really snarky or negative, the other one will say, that's not your style.
That's good. I like that. Number 10, be proud to be seen with your partner. I can speak for myself. I certainly am proud to be seen with Kelly. I'm not so sure she's proud to be seen with me sometimes.
Oh.
But there's no doubt that is actually true. And certainly in my relationship, I'm very proud to be around my wife. And I know you with Father Hansen.
Definitely.
And are there people that if you're not proud to be seen with your partner? But that's a big
There's
problem.
There's trouble.
You got big problems there.
That's right. There's trouble.
Oh gosh. Yeah. So sometimes though, partners do things that, and I've done this. I've done this to Kelly. I've done something. Brought up something in the past, a story which maybe you think is funny, but might be hurtful to her.
Yes.
Or she brings up something that might be hurtful to me and wasn't intended to be. So maybe that's not really quite the same way. And I get, is it important to make sure that the appearance is proper when you're with your partner, to make sure you give a proper appearance? I mean, that's pretty obvious, but, you know, if you're to dress properly at the right occasion so that the person's acting properly. I mean, what are we talking about?
Well,
proud,
you know,
to be seen?
Every couple works this out in a different way. For some couples, it doesn't matter. They still love to be seen with their eccentric better half.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're fitting in and, you know. And with other couples, it does matter. Mm-hmm. And so they consult and negotiate. And again, this is a joke that Father Hansen often makes on Sunday mornings. Mm. He stands in front of the closet door, and all there are black shirts, black suits, and black pants. And he puts his hand on his chin and he says, I wonder what I should wear to church today, you know. But at other occasions, you know, I might say, honey, would you please, you know, wear this or that? And in our relationship, it's okay. Or he might say to me, you know, I'd like you to dress up more for this. And we're okay with that. But some couples may not be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something you just need to negotiate within the... So if it's appearance, that's easy. But if somebody is ashamed to be seen with the other person, with the spouse, for whatever reason, and wants to distance themselves from the spouse, then you know there's marriage problems.
I was in a situation, and this was years ago, where I wasn't working and Kelly was. And I felt like I was really an impediment. This was like when we first got married.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like I felt like, oh gosh, she probably doesn't want to be seen around me. I mean, what are you doing, Jerry? Well, I'm out of work. I mean, so it was kind of like I felt like she's probably not very proud to be seen with me or talk. And I guess that's just one of those things where you have to work things out. But Kelly, to her credit, was always very encouraging, and it was just wonderful. It's just one of the reasons I really married her. She was just very encouraging and supportive and helpful. And so sometimes there are challenges, I suppose, with that. Are there?
There are. I'm sure there are. And sometimes we meet the spouse of somebody we know and we're surprised.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, I didn't think you would be married to this person. This person wasn't what I imagined.
Right.
And so if you're married to somebody that isn't what somebody else would imagine, I think it's especially important to show appreciation for that person.
We're going to take a break and wrap things up on the 10 things that couples do to be happy, that happy couples do to remain happy. I guess that's the way of putting it. We'll wrap up this series with Yidi Hansen from The Growing Place right after this break.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
All right, welcome back to the show. Our final segment, talking about the 10 things that happy people do, happy couples do, to have successful relationships. And we've gone through a whole gamut of them. And the most important of all of these, we talk about going to bed at the same time, walking hand in hand, saying I love you, being proud to be seen with your partner, et cetera, et cetera. I always come down to number 4 on this list because this, to me, is the most crucial one. Make trust and forgiveness your natural default. You cannot have love without forgiveness. You can have forgiveness without love.
Yes.
But you cannot have love, true love, without truly forgiving. Forgiving somebody for what somebody done
wrong. And even forgiving
yourself. Right.
In a relationship.
Right. Yeah, so that seems to be the most important. I want to wrap up this discussion because you just saw a movie that came out a year ago.
Yes, I saw it on DVD.
No, it was just last year.
It was 2016, I think.
Yeah, Best Picture, La La. No, it didn't win Best Picture.
Emma Stone won. It was nominated for a bunch of stuff,
right.
And it did win a bunch of things, but not the Best Picture.
It was announced as the winner.
Yes.
But then it turned out that the guy said the wrong word, the wrong. It was actually Moonlight or something that actually won. It was a mess at the end of the Oscars this year. But anyway, La La Land was a great movie, and it was a musical.
Yes.
And it comes down to a couple that meets when they're young, and they seem to be the perfect fit. But for whatever reason, I don't even remember what happened. But
their careers took them in. It separated them for 4 months. She went to Paris to make that movie.
That's right. And he stayed behind and worked at his dream of having a nightclub.
Well, he stayed behind and was on tour with the band.
And then he ultimately got his nightclub years later.
But she didn't find that out until 5 years later when she was a great big success as an actress.
Mm-hmm.
And she's walking down the boulevard at night and they've had dinner and she hears jazz.
They being Emma Stone and her
husband. Her husband, not Ryan Gosling.
And Ryan Gosling was considered probably her true love from 5 years earlier.
We're left to assume that.
And so they it's a wonderful movie. The end of the last 10 minutes of the movie are just gripping. And it's a wonderful film. And so there's the scene at the end where he's playing at the piano, the lights turn down, and it's just their song that he's playing, and they look at each other. Women are weeping, men are trying to pretend not to weep, and it's just an incredible movie. And the question was, did this woman marry the right man? And mm-hmm. you're left wondering what she's wondering. Did I marry the wrong man? And I wonder how many couples go through life wondering,
yeah,
was there a lost love that I should have married and didn't? I think there's a lot of people out there, and I've heard people say, well, what do you say when you hear somebody wonder
that? It's that old syndrome, the grass is greener on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the new take on that, the 21st century take on that, which is the grass is greener where you water it.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you are watering in your mind somebody you knew before, mm-hmm. and you don't really know where they are today or if anything would have ever worked out with them, mm-hmm. instead of watering your marriage, I mean, that's usually the number one reason for infidelity, mm-hmm. is just dissatisfaction in the marriage.
Mm-hmm. And thinking of an old lost love,
yes,
is very dangerous. And it's so easy to get in contact with an old lost love.
Nowadays, especially.
Very easy. And many marriages, I would imagine, break up because of that, because he or she is thinking what we're just talking about in this movie, La La Land. Did I make the right decision in marrying this person?
Right.
And I want to go back 10 years in time, 5 years in time, and make a different decision.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what you find out? Is that people, I think, idealize the way it was.
Yeah, I think they do.
And they don't go and say, you know, if I had to look at it objectively, this was probably not the right person. I'm looking at this person through a lens, like a perfect lens that doesn't exist.
Yeah. And, you know, as we're talking about La La Land, I'm so glad you brought that up. What was lacking in La La Land for me, and what is lacking on this list of the 10 things happy couples do, is one word, and it's the word commitment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Commitment creates security and trust. And if the relationship is always up for grabs, if my career takes me one way and your career takes you another, I mean, as far as we know, we weren't told what happened in that 5-year interval that they didn't see each other. All we know is she went away for 4 months and made a movie in Europe. And my question is, was your relationship so weak that you couldn't reconnect after that?
Maybe.
You know, what was happening here? Where was the commitment?
Right, right. It's a wonderful film, and it's been a wonderful discussion. We have about a minute left. I want to make sure we get everything in here. You know, final thoughts on you know what? You mentioned the commitment.
I think that's very important.
It made me think that, you know, that the commitment, it's a three-person relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We have to remember the commitment comes with God.
Mm-hmm.
And when you put God in the center of that relationship, there's no way that you're ever going to, that relationship will end. It shouldn't, because you have to remember that he's a part of it as well.
That keeps us accountable. And for those listeners who are not faith-based, mm-hmm. They need to assess how seriously do they take marriage, mm-hmm. and is it just a legal transaction for them, or is it really a vow and a promise to another human being?
Do people take marriage seriously, in your opinion? Do people come
some
into your office?
Some do and some don't.
Yeah.
And with the prevalence of divorce, it's kind of like, if it doesn't work out, we can always divorce.
Well, if you're having a problem and you want to get through some of that, the Growing Place has many marriage and family therapists, and you can give them a call at the Growing Place by calling 588-0448. You can also go to tgplace.org. Edie, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So long, everybody.